What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
2 degrees.
Oh my God.
So it's just, yeah, great times.
Well, I mean, I set my Outlook reminder, for 2 years from now, because Quentin Post, who's 24, who turns 25 in March, will be ready to go in 2 years. I can't wait. Dude, the amount of people who hit us up about Quentin Post, you'd be shocked.
I'm sure Slater gets to say a thing.
Yeah,
I've seen your
traction. Sure.
Whenever you send out a tweet, there's thousands and thousands of comments.
I've become good at ignoring it. But, I mean, I'm not, and maybe I shouldn't say this to the fans who, I love my followers, readers, all that, but, I don't necessarily lock into every comment heading my way.
Slates are good, man.
So you're
stay
not
warm.
Like Joe Lacob.
Stay warm in Minnesota.
All right, fellas.
See you, buddy.
We'll see you Saturday when you come back to the Bay when the Warriors take on. It's always fun chatting with
always
Anthony Slater.
Game.
Always fun game. Always
it's always fun game.
Quentin Post is 24 right now.
I
okay?
know.
He turns 25 on March, what is this? March 21st.
He's
two years from now.
I got to ask a question.
Could be the age of Wiggins, or was Wiggins 29?
First of all, thanks to Anthony Sonny for joining us on the River Islands guest line. But maybe you would know this more than I would. Every year, no matter the team,
yes,
for this exercise, a basketball team, the 13th man on the roster. Why are there so many questions circling around the 13 men on the roster saying, oh, what if you get this guy shot?
Alan
this guy
Smiley
turn
Geach.
You're right. You know what I'm saying? It's the Smiley Geach season.
Remember that?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's
Smiley
throw
Geach.
Wee Geach Sanchez in there.
Yeah, it's Smiley Geach. Yeah, people asking for Dwight Howard.
Well, they could be the next Anthony Morrow.
I mean, Anthony Lamb, Ty Jerome, remember that stuff?
No, JT.
Who was it? Horace in Texas was the one who asked Joe Lacob about Dwight Howard.
Oh, yeah. No, open up the lines for Joe Lacob. We open up the lines.
No, he also said earlier that if Kevon Looney had the playing time of Jokic, he would basically be better than him. If he got the play,
he had to know if he could develop a jumper.
A jumper, that's what it was.
Horace in Texas. Can you call back in? I miss you.
Damn, he did. We opened up the line for Joe Lacob, and we took two calls.
I love
one of the calls was about DeMarcus Cousins, and the other one was about Dwight Howard. And Lacob looked at me and was like, really? This is what you guys are doing? I'm like, dude, I'm sorry.
These are the roasters, baby.
Welcome to the morning roast. Sort of asked the owner of the team about Dwight Howard.
I kind of respect it, actually.
His son did draft Alex Smiley Geach. Wow.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
We all have
to sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I think Smiley Geach's last basket, now don't quote me on this. See, I could be wrong.
Give it to
but
me.
They were playing a baseball doubleheader against Memphis during that pandemic season.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget my first season over there at NBC. And Smiley Geach was playing the back end of the back-to-back against Memphis.
He would like and walk Smiley, the court like well, this. His back was all messed up.
He started, right? Hit the first basket of the game. It was a three. Draymond's here like, yeah, boy. And Smiley Geach is doing the Carmelo Anthony three to the head.
No, he's not.
And, dude, I swear to God.
No, he's not.
I'll never forget. He's doing a three to the head, and he, like, gave himself a concussion. He didn't score the rest of the game.
They drafted him. He was 18. He looked 33.
Guru and I did his first ever interview.
Oh, you did?
Dude, it was Jordan Poole,
uh-huh.
Eric Paschal,
uh-huh.
and Alex Smiley Geach.
Eric Paschal.
And I remember Smiley Geach, I asked him, I said, what does it mean to be in this facility? You see all these numbers of great players.
What did he say?
He's like, however he said it, it was like, basically, yeah, I'm here to help them win more championships, and I want to be part of this legacy. Or what?
Just like Jason Caffey.
I hit him with the, what do you see when you step into this practice facility?
Can we
like
close
that?
A loop here? Horace in Texas. Just I want to let you know, Nikola Jokic this year is averaging 31 a game, 9.9 assists a game, and 13.2 rebounds a game.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, he's shooting 80% from the free throw line.
Oh, gosh. By the way, Philip Estrada.
37 minutes a game. Jokic has been created in the lab. He's averaging 31, 10, 13, playing 37 minutes a game. He's going to win the MVP again, isn't he?
In the altitude.
So
in the altitude while drinking 2 liters of soda, it looks like.
My guy, Philip Estrada, Just reminded me. What about Brad Wanamaker? Remember the Brad Wanamaker fans? What about Willie Cully Stein? Brad,
that was Kate's account.
I knew 2019 the Warriors were doomed. Steiny Guru and I were talking to Mike Brown. I asked Mike Brown, so what's the expectations this year in terms of wins and losses? And he goes, you know, early on, we're not going to look at the wins and the losses. It's a process. Like, oh, they're screwed. They're screwed.
They drafted a guy who's 2 years away, and he played 4 years at Boston College and was 24. Wow, man. I mean, this is... Who needs to go to the CFL more, Trey Lance or Quentin Post?
Oh, my God. I'm not there yet.
You got to get reps.
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
We were in the dog days of August, for crying out loud. I needed something outlandish. And it worked for that show because some people bought it. Some people bought it. They were persuaded. Dwight Howard's dad, I think, wanted to come on the show to pitch Dwight Howard to the Golden State Warriors. Oh, man. So it's always that guy on the roster.
So is Dwight Howard going to be like T.O.? Like 20 years from now, he's going to still think he can play?
Well, did you hear what the latest with him? He thinks Shaq is blocking his opportunities in the NBA.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a beef with him now. And Shaq, like, said they're not cool anymore. If he sees him, he's going to punch him in the face.
Oh, my God. They've always had a beef. Shaq has got to stop being petty,
man. I kind of like it, though.
He's got to stop being petty. I mean, Dave Lillard came at him. Shaq had the most overproduced hit him up on Dave Lillard in the world.
Biological didn't bother. Still knocks, though.
It does still
knock. My favorite is when he signed with the Lakers.
Time for the legal.
I did it to do movies. It's like, shut up.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMGF, MNHG1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on a free Odyssey app. We got 60 seconds of celebrity in just a second.
You know, you bring up Shaq.
And also, Steve Weiss joining us from the NFL Network at 9:20. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk to Steve Weiss.
So, Notre Dame, and this is a brief aside. Notre Dame is in the championship game or whatever, and we had this group thread, and we were talking about jerseys we owned growing up, right? And my brother was talking about how I would always wear my Notre Dame jersey, and then I had the Rick Meyer number 3 with no nameplate on the back or whatever. The jersey my little brother wore, I swear to God, like every day, this thing was disgusting. You know, like kids don't take showers. You know what I mean? They just like, hey, dirty little kids running around. That was my brother. So we always be playing in the backyard. Damn. He wore the baby blue pinstriped Shaq jersey every day for, I swear to God, 10 straight years. That, and I know it's a classic jersey now. It was an iconic jersey back then. That's his favorite player. It was always his favorite player. He loved Shaq. Loved him. And every time in my eye, like, I close my eyes, I think of Shaq. I think of the Orlando Shaq sliding on the ground against the
NBA
Warriors.
On NBC promo.
And he's like,
it topped over to the background.
And yes, exactly. Yeah. It was the intro
to NBA and NBC. And it's Shaq coming through your television screen doing it. Yeah, you know the promos.
I love Shaq. NBA and NBC. I don't know. I just got a soft spot.
By the way, that NBA and NBC promo with Giannis, Wemby,
it's incredible.
And Tatum, that's how you market the game. That's why I have hope in the NBA getting some better ratings and us at least being a better television product because they'll got all the shenanigans. Think of a broadcast led by Mike Tirico. They also just hired Jamal Crawford.
They're good about
the game.
Really good.
They're about the game, not the shenanigans that we see on the other networks. All right, let's get to six.
Well, or like Gilbert Arenas just hates on everyone.
Nick Young. They're out of control. Like Rashad McKenzie.
Wait a minute. Nick Young is weird? Dude, no way.
The guy
who showed up as the 12th man in like a nightgown, like Hugh Hefner to a playoff game?
Whenever I pop that camera up on Nick Young, man, thousands of views on Instagram. We're doing numbers for the station.
So he's the Kyle Kuzma of his era.
Dude, he was getting hits. He was getting numbers. Nick
Young. Champions.
And then you got Rashad McKenzie, who has this false sense that he was some great two guard.
Rashad
McKenzie is out of his mind.
Peaked
anyway,
in college.
Anyway, 60 seconds of silence.
It's time for 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Yeah. Wouldn't you know it, the #1 overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 seconds of Celebrini starts now.
Yeah, the Sharks were in Detroit last night. Snapped the Red Wings' 7-game winning streak. Always good to beat the Red Wings. That used to be a really big rivalry between these two teams. But closing has been a problem with the Sharks this year, but not last night. Sporting a 2-1 lead going into the final period, Macklin Celebrini skated behind the net and found William Eklund to the right of the crease for this goal.
Victories over the Lightning and New Jersey.
Celebrini, they score! William Eklund!
And that was Randy Hahn on the call there. Vladimir Tarasenko added his second goal of the night to make it 3-2. And the Sharks responded at the 12-minute mark when Celebrini set up Mikael Granlund for his 12th goal of the year.
31st-ranked penalty kill for Detroit. Here's a look for Granlund. And scores! Mikael Granlund! A power play goal!
That is right, a power play goal there. Lucas Raymond, not Alexander, brought the Wings to within one a few minutes later, but the Sharks pulled away late, getting a goal from Tyler Toffoli and an empty netter from Mario Ferraro to seal the deal for the Sharks. Sharks win 6-4, and that is your 6-second Celebrini.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Always good to beat the Red Wings, by the way.
They used to be such a big rivalry. Those playoff series they had back, it was like 08, 09. Yeah. Oh, those
even
were...
before that, the Sharks' first ever playoff series win
happened
against the Detroit Red Wings. Artis Erbe was in goal.
That's a name.
Yeah.
I remember the one year the Sharks, they won the first three. Red Wings stormed back to win the next three. I remember going to school that day of Game 7. That was a really tense day at school. That felt like two series in one, that one.
Detroit sports sneakily? Coming back around. Tigers made a little bit of a run.
Pistons.
Lions. No, seriously, though. The Pistons are playing better.
Pistons. AJ Hinch and the Tigers. I'd rather be Detroit.
Okay, the Sharks have 26 losses. Okay. Now,
I'd rather be the White Sox.
There's ties. Okay. But they're also, like, we know this is a.
They're overtime and shootout losses.
Yes.
Yeah. But continue. Sorry.
Who has more losses at the end of the year? Sharks or Warriors?
Sharks.
It's probably going to be the Sharks.
But if
the fact you're even asking the question, though.
Right? I'd rather be the Sharks.
Sharks are 14-26-6, so that's 32 losses overall.
This may be a long 7 months in the
Bay
Area.
Well, I just go with the straight L's, 26.
This may be a long 7 months. And by the way, Dan Ruzanowski, the voice of the Sharks, is going to join us on Friday. Well, we're going to talk some Sharks for everybody out there. We're talking Sharks hockey on the Morning Rose. Listen, it might be a long 7 months. Because I asked you guys before the show, how do you sell the 2025 San Francisco Giants right now?
Wow.
I have no idea. We don't know what's going to happen with the Warriors. We know the Sharks are a year away from being a year away. We're going to be dying for 49er football.
How many years away are the Warriors then if the Sharks are a year away from being a year away?
I don't know.
Who wins the playoff series next?
Wow. Who gets into the playoffs first?
Who wins a playoff series next? That's a great question.
Who's the next playoff winning team, or who's going to win a game or a series in the playoffs next?
It's a fun question for the other side after we talk to Steve Weish.
The Giants haven't won a playoff series since 2014.
Yeah. Decade? Oh, boy. Some dark days, man. That's why I appreciate the last 13 years in the Bay Area. From 2010 to 2023, we've had some good times. Boy, we fell on hard times right now. Let's talk to Steve Weiss on the other side. He is a big timer at NFL Network, chief national reporter for NFL Network and NFL.com. We'll get to Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, the 49ers, the Rooney Rule, and what's going on in the NFL. That's coming up, brought to you by MB Jesse Painting.
Thank you guys, Shafty, and I've listened to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
Oh, man. Warriors and T-Wolves later on tonight. 6:30 tip-off. You can listen to it right here on 95.7 The Game as it is. Hey, Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We got a lot of football talk. Robert Saleh interviewing with the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, Robert Saleh interviewing with the Cowboys. Is Coach Prime going there? What's going on with the coaching cycle right now? Vince Wilfork, not a fan of Brady's broadcasting. There's a lot going on in the NFL right now, Shasky, as we get ready for the divisional round playoffs. Oh, this is going to be a great weekend. Rams-Eagles Sunday. Well, let's start off with Saturday's games, right? Yeah, Chiefs and Texans. And then you get Lions-Commanders in the 3-1-3. Jay Daniels going into the Lions' den. Lions coming off a bye week. They do welcome back David Montgomery, who was out for the last month of the season. And, of course, Sunday's doubleheader is going to be a doozy with the Eagles and the Rams out in Philadelphia. And, of course, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens against the Buffalo Bills. So let's talk to a good friend of the program, man, Steve Weiss. He does it all for NFL Network, the chief national reporter for NFL Network at NFL.com. Steve, good morning to you. Welcome to the Morning Rush here at 95.7 The Game. And Steve Weiss, of course, joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. We'll get back to the wild card weekend. It was a lot to pick from there. But overall, the playoffs, when you look at this division around playoffs, what's the game you're looking forward to the most, Steve?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be the Ravens at the Bills. I mean, these are the two big dogs, the two MVP candidates. You know, you've got the obvious storylines, but you see both of these teams are playing really well, right? They're playing top-notch football. Will the home field, you know, really help Buffalo? Will it be a hindrance? It's just such a good game because you look at the strength positions, and they're both so good. I mean, Derrick Henry's great, but James Cook is great. So I just want to see which one of these guys who's, you know, going to probably have the pleasure of facing Patrick Mahomes next week gets over this hump, because we know the storylines with both of them when it comes to not getting to the Super Bowl.
I guess we'll find out today about Zay Flowers, right, and his availability or whether or not he'll practice on a limited basis with the sprained knee.
We'll see. I mean, usually Wednesday is what happens, but, you know, depending on just where he is in his rehab, we might not know until Thursday or even early Friday. But they do like to get in 2 days of work. You know, that Thursday and Friday, even if it's kind of enhanced walkthrough to see you guys help.
Yeah. Going back to last week, you know, Niner fans, we had Sam Darnold here. We saw him play in a kind of meaningless Week 18 game for the team, but I guess it was meaningful for him. And, you know, just seeing the season he had this year, a lot of Niner fans are like, whoa, Darnold's having a monster year. Our guy, Brock Purdy, not so much so. And so there was a lot of, talk about maybe replacing Darnold and Purdy and whatever. How does the league view Sam Darnold after those last two performances on Monday Night Football?
Well, I mean, it's that's a great question, because up until the last 2 weeks, I think people are like, okay, maybe he's gone over the hump. Him and Kevin O'Connell have that special thing going, like how Jared Goff and Ben Johnson had. But then the last 2 weeks, to see him fall off that cliff, they're like, okay, this is the Sam Darnold we were expecting to see earlier in the season. With him, you know, struggling under pressure, making mistakes, just not being able to see the field. So I think the league, you know, people I've talked to, he's hurt himself, but how much? Because, look, people are going to say, well, the Vikings are definitely aren't bringing him back. We didn't know if they were bringing him back anyway because he played so well. There might have been a team out there that offered him more money than the Vikings are willing to pay, especially knowing they've got J.J. McCarthy on deck. So it'll just be intriguing to see, because it is going to be a starved quarterback market, to see what type of deal that Darnold is going to get from the Vikings or whomever.
Who do you think has more interest around the league? If they both were available, is it Brock or would it be Darnold?
I would think Brock. I would think Brock. One, because he's younger. And two, you know, Brock hasn't really have those moments where people say, oh, he's a system quarterback, this and that. Well, there's like 10 guys running that system. So, you know, one of those teams needs a quarterback. I would think him, just because his track record is far more successful, far fewer dips and lows than Darnold's.
Steve Weiss here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Steve, how far away do you think the Niners are away from being relevant once again in the NFC? Because our takeaways over the wild card weekend is like, but I don't think it's all doom and gloom with the 49ers. Shanahan to be back, obviously. McCaffrey, Brock's coming back, and you're going to get some other assets here. How far away do you believe the Niners are from contending in the NFC?
Not far at all. I mean, look, they've got some tough decisions to make. You know, you don't want to get in a situation like you've seen some teams get in this year where they all got old at once, and you're like, ooh, right? And I think the Niners are flirting, you know, kind of with that situation. So they're going to have to turn over the roster some, freshen it up some. And it's always good to kind of have some turnover, too, just to get some new points of view, so to speak, get some new talent in there to push people. But they're not far away. I mean, look, this year, you hate using it because every team has injuries, but they were just decimated. They were decimated. If they come back healthy, get a fresh infusion of stuff, tighten up some things on defense. I know they're going through all the coordinator interviews. I think they'll be right back in the mix.
Have you heard, because it's been kind of quiet, have you heard any, you know, defensive coordinators linked to the Niners or anybody that's maybe ahead of some of the other candidates?
No. I know. I mean, it's very quiet on that front, just because probably some of the people you'd think would be in the mix, Robert Saleh and whatnot, are still getting head coaching interviews. So, but no, I have not heard anybody like, okay, he's probably going to end up with the Niners. I've not heard that.
When you look at the Niners scheme defensively, pardon me, Shasky and I always talk about, man, a wide nine system, and you have Nick Bosa lined up so wide. He's more of a power rusher, not a speed rusher. And it feels like their defensive scheme has become a bit outdated. What do you hear around the league when it comes to the Niners defensive scheme? Obviously, they fired Nick Sorensen, and we're wondering, what about Wink Martindale? What about Sweet Lou Anamarua, who got fired from Cincinnati? And maybe you will welcome in a scheme change, more exotic blitzing or whatnot, because the Niners didn't do that. But when you hear from league members or people who are scheming for the Niners, what do they say about their defensive scheme right now, Steve?
Scheme-wise, nothing. I mean, scheme-wise, it's worked. I mean, you talk about Nick Bosa, wide nine. Sometimes they roll him inside. I mean, they move things up. It just really all depends on your talent. I mean, when you have linebackers who can run and then deliver the impact blows like a Dre Greenlaw and a Fred Warner, I mean, how much you want to blitz them? I mean, they cover. They don't miss a lot in the open field. Even though this year, I think their open field, their geometry, so to speak, was bad. I mean, they missed more open field tackles than I've seen a Niners defense make. So is that a scheme issue? Is that players blowing integrity? Is it a communication issue? Because one thing, you know, I've seen from a lot of the good teams that struggled, especially down the stretch, is like their communication was off. Guys were trying to do too much. So, you know, you look at the teams now that are still left, like the Ravens, how well they've improved. That's where they've held up. The scheme is fine. It was just players busting integrity and things like that early on in the season. So you don't really know exactly what happened there, but I don't hear anyone saying, man, that Niners game is outdated.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. We're not hearing anything. So everybody's like up in the air. Now, I got my eye on the Cowboys because it's the Cowboys. We hate them. And the Deion Sanders thing, like, is that real? And then B, what's that going to look like with him on the sidelines if it was real? Because I remember when they went Parcells, and it always was an odd look to me.
The Jerry Jones factor.
Yeah, it was always an odd look. But for some reason, I kind of actually envision Deion on the sidelines. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Look, Deion is going to play this very interestingly. One thing about Deion Sanders, he's so smart, he does not make a move without having, you know, he's like Kyle Shanahan. He has answers for every possible potential counter. I personally don't see it happen. People I spoke to don't see it happen. But then a lot of people didn't see Deion succeeding at Jackson State. They didn't see him succeeding at Colorado. And look what he's done. Mm-hmm. So you never know. I think the dynamic, though, with Jerry being so front and center and Deion being in front of everybody and in the center of everybody is an oddly peculiar dynamic. I just don't see the way that building is structured. It's fitting what Deion is about. But again, I will never be surprised with anything with Deion.
You know, Steve, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you today is because of all the coaching hirings and some of the practices of coaching hirings and interviews or whatnot. And I was watching you on NFL Network last week, shortly after Gerard Mayo got fired from the New England Patriots. Now, maybe he wasn't the man to lead that team into the future, but we all didn't have high expectations for the New England Patriots with the rookie quarterback in Drake May. We all envisioned them struggling, which they did. But then they hire Mike Vrabel, who could have been their guy all along. Now, I'm not going to knock a team for pinpointing a guy. Mike Vrabel's a hell of a coach. He's a good coach, and he's on everybody's top of the list. But then they interview Pep Hamilton and Brian Leftwich, who haven't coached really since 2022, and aren't even getting interviews for coordinator jobs, let alone head coaching jobs. Has their Rooney Rule become some sort of a sham here, where teams are like, yeah, we'll just interview this guy just to check the box off, but we already know who our guy is? What do we do about this situation moving forward?
Nothing. You know, look, this has always been, you know, since they've instituted it, you know, especially minority coaches are like, it sucks that we even have to have a rule. But, you know, everyone knows change in this country has never come voluntarily. Mm-hmm. You know, rules, whether they be judicial or whatever, have always, you know, had to be forced upon people. But sure, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a sham rule. Certain teams use it as a sham, like we saw the Patriots just do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it comes to these minority coaches, they're like, well, why are they taking the interview, right? We saw Aaron Glenn, like, no, I'm not wasting my time. And I'm not going there. I know you guys are hiring Vrabel. But other people are like, well, look, at the very least, it's going to put me on the map to maybe become a coordinator there or to have somebody, you know, put a bug in someone's ear about me. So it's, again, I'm not going to say it's the rule that's a farce. I do think some teams use it wisely and use it well, and I think other teams, depending on their circumstance, make a mockery of it.
Really well said. Really well said. I'm watching these playoffs right now, and I just see so many just so many great stories, whether it be the players or the coaches. And I'm sitting here watching the Rams, and we've got a front row seat to McVay for multiple years. And he's gone through many different defensive coordinators. And obviously losing Aaron Donald, they've really rebuilt that defense. I was so impressed with Shula, Chris Shula, and what he's done. And then Stafford. Yeah. I feel like people are sleeping on the Rams right now. That, to me, is one of the more underreported stories of these playoffs. If you had to pinpoint one, what would your underreported story be heading into this weekend?
Ooh. Wow. That's a really good one. I think the Rams would probably be, I mean, they're fresh in our minds because we just saw them just dominate Monday night. But, you know, for some of the reasons, like people are going to go, well, Saquon ran for 225 on him a couple weeks ago. Yeah, that's not happening again. Right, they've tightened it up. But here's one thing that's not been talked about enough about what the Rams did, besides, you know, the storyline of all the fires all throughout Los Angeles where I live and things like that. Sean McVay said, I don't care where we're seated. Remember, they were the number three seed going into week 18. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to rest my guys. If we fall to number four, so be it. So right now, he's like Pat Riley, right? When Pat Riley was playing for championships and whatnot, he's like, I don't care who we play, where we play, when we play, where we're seated. We're going to worry about us, and we're going to handle it. So having a leader like that, so last week they did have the fires and everything as something they had to go through as a rallying point. Sean McVay will find something else. This game in Philly, regardless if it's cold or not, is going to be a really, really good game, especially like you said, because that defense, all those guys are first through third year players on that defense. So they're kind of in a situation like Detroit where they're not paying big money to anybody on that side of the ball. They're developing them, which is Sean McVay might be the best at developing his staff, the best at developing players in the NFL. And they're playing with their heads on fire. House money, let's go get it. So I'm with you on the Rams being kind of the sleeper team of the weekend.
Eagles are my Super Bowl pick, Steve. I was just saying, I can't stay at Philadelphia. You had a miserable experience a couple years ago. We have a personal beef. They're still writing articles about us for us talking smack in Philadelphia. But it's hard for me to look past that offensive line, that defensive line, yep. and what Saquon yep. Barkley has done. However, Jalen Hurts, and I'm going to give up a pass. He missed a few weeks with the concussion. Should that be a concern moving forward? Their passing game, which looked a bit stale last week against Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I want to give credit to Green Bay's defense on that. It looked stale. Maybe he wasn't fresh, but Green Bay's defense played really well. I mean, that was they can scheme teams up. You know, I'd rather give them credit than say, oh, Philadelphia's passing game is this and that. As long as you've got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and guys like that, it is always a danger because, like the Niners, when they're healthy, all you got to do is get the ball in somebody's hands. Mm-hmm. The quarterback doesn't have to be great because the receivers are great.
Yeah. Steve, I'm sitting here, I'm watching that Commander game the other night, and I was blown away with Jaden Daniels. I've watched him many times this year, but to do that in a playoff game, on the road, in the fourth quarter, and be as poised as he was time and time again, and just the way that they go to the line, and he's kind of calling everything out, and I mean, he's like an orchestra conductor. I was so impressed with him. I mean, gosh, is there any team whose future feels brighter? I can't believe I'm saying this. Then the Washington Commanders, they've got cap room. No, they've got cap room. They've got draft picks. Like, I'm sitting here going, this might be the worst version of this team that we see over the next 5 or 6 years.
You better check in on Bears fans.
I sound crazy. I know.
Check in on Chicago Bears fans.
Well, the Bears are still a year away from being a year away. You know, so Washington. You know, and that's a great point because, you know, you looked at the roster this year and you thought they were going to be like the Raiders back in the day, right? Remember when they signed all these veterans to one-year contracts mm-hmm. and they were like, we got to clear our cap and X, Y, and Z. So you thought that was going to be the case of them signing Bobby Wagner and guys like that. But Dan Quinn is one of the greatest leaders of men in the NFL. And you hear this from people who play for him, who've coached with him. And he got those guys to rally, okay? And then he has Cliff Kingsbury, and then Anthony Lynn. Let's not forget Anthony Lynn, the old running backs coach of the Niners, is on that staff. So he helped Cliff, who's got that itchy finger to throw the ball all the time. Let's stay balanced. We've got a young quarterback, right? So the way that they put that together and they handled things is fantastic. But what was so great about that game last week is Washington couldn't run the ball. Right? They could not run. So they were having to throw it a lot, and Jaden Daniels was their run game. And he didn't break a sweat. Right, when you've got that, when you have a team that is still flawed, right, but has a quarterback like that with that ability to make plays, with the confidence of his teammates in him and the trust he has in what they're doing, that is a dangerous, dangerous type of team. Now, can they go up and they beat Detroit? I don't know. Their defense has done some really good things, but that offense schematically is so hard to pinpoint play to play.
Yeah,
I don't know, but Washington's going to make a game of it. I don't think we're going to see a bunch of walkovers like we saw this weekend.
Well, me and B grew up in the 80s, right, watching the old Washington team that was headed by Joe Gibbs. And
the Hogs.
There's just something special about, to us, and I know it's been 20 years of misery for them, but like having that fan base be relevant again in those colors, like it does matter to me. And I don't think the league is going to thrive no matter what, but it is cool that Washington's a factor now.
Agreed. Agreed 100%. Look, I grew up in the 80s, too. I was going to school at Howard University in Washington, D.C., when Doug Williams became the first black quarterback to win the Super Bowl and became absolute football royalty, right? That fan base, I remember, you know, because I hated them. I grew up in Minneapolis and St. Louis, and those teams used to be the Vikings and the Cardinals every year. And every player on that team had a freaking TV show. Like, they were so relevant. And, you know, I'm with you. If you get that market going, especially with so many feel-good stories in there. I mean, we all thought Bobby Wagner would be washed right now. All he's doing is just stacking stars next to his Hall of Fame resume, as great as he's playing. We're discovering how good of a player Terry McLaurin has been, but we didn't really care about or know about because he was on irrelevant teams. So I'm with you on that. Having that market back and then having a dynamic leader like Jaden Daniels, who's so humble and so good, is really something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the Hogs, Dexter Manley, Charles Mann, Joe Gibbs, one of the three different quarterbacks. Yeah, the great ready shoot wide receivers led by Art Monk as well. They were really, really good for so many years.
Yeah, Art
so
Monk,
many
Terry
years.
Sanders, you had Don Riggins on those teams. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, let's go down memory lane here.
Dude, RFK Stadium rocking up and down. Oh, it was great. But last question for you. I was going to ask you about Brock Purdy and a contract, but our audience is fatigue. He's going to get paid a lot of money. He's going to be a 49er, so we'll see how the structure comes out. That will get done. We haven't asked you about the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody's talking about Baltimore and Buffalo, and we're talking about the Eagles. And what about Kansas City, who may be the most slept-on defending Super Bowl champion in this league history, and they're going for a three-peat with home field advantage. And oh, by the way, they're healthy again. Is this Kansas City Super Bowl to lose, Steve?
Yes, it is. Look, the reason why people aren't talking about them is because of the fatigue, right? They're so good. They psych us out every year by rope-a-doping everybody. Like, they're not, they're good, they're flawed. Then all of a sudden, they peak at the right time. We see Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on every commercial on TV. So the fatigue is real. So people are like, okay, let's step back and talk about someone else. Because, you know, look, it's like back in the day when I used to cover the NBA, we're talking about Karl Malone and Charles Barkley, these guys, because we know Michael Jordan is the best player in the league. Right? That's how the Chiefs are being treated. But yeah, I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes is going to be healthier. He's playing well. Andy Reid coming off of a bye. I forget the number. It's like this ridiculous, like 32-4 record. I mean, the Texans are going to have a lot of things break their way to get by them this weekend. But they're just, the Chiefs being a defensive team, that's the scary part about it, is now they're healthy. Steve Spagnuolo's back there scheming things up. Karlaftis, Stone Cold Jones. I mean, every level. Nick Bolton. You've got Justin Reed and all of Trent McDuffie on the back end. It is their Super Bowl to lose. And the fact that it goes through Kansas City to get through the AFC is just another layer to that.
Yeah, I saw some numbers with Patrick Mahomes in the division around. He's thrown 13 touchdown passes and zero interceptions. But, Steve, we can't stand the Chiefs around here. And we always think back to Super Bowl 54, 3rd-and-15. 3rd-and-15 with the Niners up 10. And Mahomes takes like a 15-step drop back and hits Tyreek Hill. And NFL history's been changed since then. It really has. Yep. Who knows if the Niners win that Super Bowl, what happens? But Steve, are you going to any one of the games? Are you attending anywhere this weekend?
I will be in studio this weekend, and then I'll be going to games the rest of the way. So nice. I will be in LA, you know, helping everybody get things back together, and then it's on the road.
Steve, always good.
Yeah, we love having these conversations with you, man. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate you guys. You guys have a great day.
You too. Steve Weiss, Chief National Reporter for NFL Network and NFL.com, and comes down to Kansas City.
I wonder,
it would shock me if they lost now. Like, I know I say, like, the luck is going to run out at some point.
No, it's not.
But it feels like, can you imagine for them to be the first team to three-peat? Really?
I have a six-pack. It's just under the dad bod.
They are Thanos. They're inevitable. The way I view them is pretty simple. It's the way, like, you used to do what, Pats or Pass?
Yeah, Pats
or Pass. Yeah, that's where I'm at with the Chiefs. Yeah. And look, Niner fans? I just want to know from Niner fans. I'm dead serious on this. Are you with me? Like, we're rooting for anyone but the Chiefs, right?
Even the Eagles? What if the Eagles advance to the Super Bowl?
It's the lesser of two evils. I know. But
Crossing Broad. Could you imagine Crossing Broad? I don't want those guys celebrating
anything. Patrick Mahomes gets his fourth Super Bowl at the age of 29.
I know.
And almost all of them have been comeback Super Bowls. Like, come on, man. You're looking at a guy who's literally, like Ricky Henderson, in the middle of his career at 30 years old or whatever, broke the stolen base record. Jerry Rice, at 30-something years old, 31 years old, broke the touchdown record. You're looking at a guy who is over halfway there to Brady at 29. He might, if they win it all this year, and then you know they're going to make some sort of move. They're going to go to DK or whatever.
They always do.
You know, they'll do something.
Somebody always wants to go to Kansas City.
If ever there was a combination that could win four in a row, it would be them.
It would be them. They're in a position to three-peat with home field advantage.
The Super Bowl's at Levi's next year, too.
That would, oh my gosh, that would set
him and coming to Levi's to get his fifth.
Oh my God.
Four
where
in
it
row.
All started. Oh. Where it all started. Super Bowl 54. And they own the Niners. Let's just be real. They came to Levi's Stadium and they played their C game. And it was a battle. It was a struggle. Niners lost Brandon Ayuk in that game. Debo left the game as well. I think he came up with pneumonia. But they own the Niners. They own real estate in every single member of the 49ers' heads, including ours, and as fans. But Arrowhead Stadium, like, we're going to look at Buffalo and Baltimore are going to beat each other up. Cold, snowy. And next thing you know, they're going to be at Arrowhead Stadium. Because nobody's giving the Texans a chance, right? Did the Texans have a chance to pull an upset?
No.
It feels like no matter what.
I'm dismissing them until seen otherwise. Can I ask you this question?
Gosh.
And I mean this with all my heart. Like, it's almost going to be impossible for anyone to replicate the narrative of the Boston Red Sox curse. Well, 86 years, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know that the lovable losers, the Cubs. But, like, both the Cubs and the Red Sox didn't knock on the door that much. Now, at the
Red Sox may be more than the Cubs.
Well, 86.
86, they had that.
But
or they also Carlton Fisk, the Grand Machine in the
70s. Years separated between
you had the playoff game with Bucky Dent, obviously, with the home run.
But my point is, like, you did have a long time separating that. But I would go to the early 00s. What was it? 03, before they won the World Series, when they lost in the Game 7, Aaron Boone home run. Like, that was pretty heartbreaking. If I made the argument, like, just the last 30 years, is there a more tortured fan base that's knocked on the door and not won a title more than the Niners?
In all of sports?
All of sports. Like, I'm asking sincerely, who would even be on this list of teams that have been good enough to knock on the door as often as the Niners have and lose in horrific fashion? They've lost three Super Bowls, and you can make an argument they could have won all
Yankees,
three.
Yankees, maybe, but I get they won a championship in 09. They won one in 09. I get it.
Last 30 years.
Oh, last 30 years. Okay.
Last 30 years.
I throw the Chargers in the boat. Not to the extent of the Niners, but hear me out with the Chargers.
Okay,
they had some really good teams in the OOs with LaDainia Thomason and Phillip Rivers.
They're pretty snake bit.
They were knocking on the door. The Colts got their one championship.
Is there a basketball team?
Maybe the Rockets.
I was going to say the Thunder.
I go Rockets.
Okay, Rockets are a good one.
Rockets are a good
since
one.
Since they won with the, you know, Rudy T.
Yeah, back
and
to back.
And Dan Bullis.
Yeah. Blazers.
That's a good one.
Portland.
But have they knocked on the door recently? The Niners have lost.
They made a Western Conference final.
The Suns in there.
Suns
have lost a couple of conference finals.
Suns are a good one.
They've lost in
the
finals.
They're good.
I mean,
that's
a good
one.
We're talking about a short list, right?
It's a very short list.
You put the Sharks on. Do you even say the Sharks?
Good Sharks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll see about Buffalo this year.
What?
Some people are saying the San Diego Padres knocking on the door.
Padres are actually a good one. They should have beat them. Look. No one wants to hear this argument.
The Vikings?
They're one pitcher away from beating the freaking Dodgers this year.
The Vikings?
Vikings are up there.
The Vikings, my boy Brandon Velasquez, living in Chicago, diehard Vikings fan, he knew right away, he's like, we're not winning this game. I've seen this story for over 35 years of my life. We're not winning this game.
But I think there's a difference. So, like, for me, like, Detroit was just dormant for 30 years, right? Okay, a couple, because, like, the Niners have knocked on the door. I'm talking about bridesmaids without cashing in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small group of teams. Like, I see someone going, oh, the Rangers. Rangers won it all just a couple years ago, you know? Like, I think it's really difficult to just keep knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door, and you yeah. don't cash one in.
Well, one thing we were talking about at the show meeting, because this thought crossed my mind as I was watching Hard Knocks, the in-season Hard Knocks on the AFC North. I believe the Niners are candidate to be on Hard Knocks on HBO this year. Because they didn't make the playoffs. I think they fit the criteria, correct? What is the criteria?
I'm going to check right now to make sure.
You can't be a first-year coach.
Can't be a first-year coach. Check.
You can't make the playoffs.
Check.
And previous two seasons, you cannot have made the playoffs.
Okay. Well, what's the other box?
And the other one is like you haven't been on in X amount of years.
So the team has not made the playoffs in the previous two seasons. The team does not have a first-year head coach, and the team has not appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 8 years. So the two-year playoff absence rule would eliminate the 49ers.
Yeah, but I think they're such a big brand. The league, I think they're going to be on the off-season one. You want them to be on like the training camp one. I think it's the off-season one, and I want it.
Yeah, if John Lynch should head to the off-season, it will be insane. But who would that be? What team would be a candidate?
Well, if you were a non-Niner fan, isn't this a very like a cool offseason to what do they do with Debo? What, do they extend George Kittle? What do they do with the Brock Purdy contract? Wouldn't you want to kind of know how that goes down? Yeah. What do they do in the draft? Like, to me, I think they're a very fascinating, even if you're not a Niner fan, they're more fascinating than what the New York Giants were last offseason. And I thought the Giants was awesome.
And I'm looking at the teams that have never been on Hard Knocks. They're probably going
to... It's the Niners, dude.
They're going to want the Niners. They're going to want the 49ers. There's no doubt. I'm looking at the criteria. They're going to want the Niners on this Hard Knocks.
I don't think you're going to get Cincinnati.
They're probably on a short list. Yeah, they've already had Cincinnati on there. Cincinnati's been on
and
there.
I don't think it's Dallas because they're going to have a first-year coach.
And they've been on Hard Knocks
And I don't think it's going to be the Bears. They just were on.
They were just on. Dallas has been on multiple times. The Giants were on.
Nobody wants to see the Commanders. Jets. They were just on.
They've been on before. Buffalo doesn't fit the criteria.
No.
Carolina, Miami.
We just saw.
Miami Dolphins have been on Hard Knocks before.
We didn't love it. The Tannehill Dolphins were so boring. The Joe Philbin looked like he was Sleepy Joe.
The Patriots have a new coach.
Broncos? Sean Payton's been there for a little bit.
We've seen the Cardinals.
But they just made the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So we've just seen made the Cardinals. Playoffs. We saw the offseason with the Cardinals.
In season. In season.
During
season.
The season.
Then we knew Cliff Kingsbury was done after that.
Really quick, guys, digging around here. So there are four teams that, according to the Hard Knocks criteria, unless, of course, they change things, that do qualify. It's the Falcons, the Panthers, the Seahawks, and the Titans.
Oh.
Those are the four teams that meet the criteria that we said.
Titans.
Now, they could change it up, obviously, as we've said, to include the Niners, but going by the letter of the Hard Knocks rules, those are the four teams.
Seahawks actually would be interesting. I would like to know more about that coach. I find McDonald. Them to be – and, like, what do you do with Geno?
Yeah, McDonald.
I think the Niners would
– Do they have any personalities, though?
Blow people
Yeah, the
away.
Niners would be the one that everybody wants to watch.
If Shanahan, I'm Goodell, I'm like, hey, Jed, you got to do me a favor. I got the Super Bowl coming your way.
Yeah, Shanahan, Purdy, Fred Warner, Kittle.
Yeah.
If Debo's
Greenlaw.
Around, John Lynch, if Greenlaw's around,
free agency, but it's a free agency
Bosa,
too.
Nick Bosa,
yeah,
the NC, I would like the offseason one.
Yeah, the IU
the way they
rehab.
Go about the draft,
yeah,
their box because the in-season with the New York Giants,
who you
which
hire
really
with DC. But I want to see these interviews.
But you know, teams are shying away for the offseason after Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. The way they looked with John Mara walking in, saying, "Boy, I can't sleep." Saquon's one of our most popular players ever.
You know who it would be? I'll tell you right now. If they did the Niners offseason, you know who would be the most polarizing person on that entire show? Be Prague. You know it.
It'd be Shanahan. Or
you think it'd be Shanahan?
It'd be Shanahan or Lynch. People would look at Prague and it'd be Shanahan or Lynch.
Somewhere Ralph Barbieri's like punching air up in heaven.
It would be Shanahan or Lynch. Shanahan or Lynch. By the way, Kevin O'Connor wrote a story for Yahoo Sports. As the stories are coming out left and right about those Warriors and their position right now. And he wrote this paragraph. The state of the franchise is dark. The team's effort is uninspiring. The arena feels lifeless. This isn't the joyful, chaotic Warriors team that revolutionized basketball. That energy is gone, replaced by a snooze of a team playing a style that the league figured out. And for a group so focused on the future, the two-timeline experiment failed spectacularly. James Wiseman over LaMelo Ball. Jonathan Kaminga over Franz Wagner. Moses Moody over Alperon Sengun. Three lottery picks, no clear successors. Now, Sengun may have been blocked on his team. Who knows how that plays out? We could revisit things.
You know what that is?
What's that?
Low-hanging fruit article to get a bunch of clicks and a bunch of screenshots and recaps. I'm being real.
No, there's some lies in here saying that the Warriors pass on Pascal Siakam.
And they didn't go all in
on Larry Marketed and Paul George. You imagine if this team went all in on Paul George? What? Honestly, Warrior fans, and we could do this maybe tomorrow.
Look, I wanted Paul George. In retrospect, I was wrong.
No, it's not even about being wrong. It's not even being right or wrong.
But I've seen enough data. I was wrong.
But we're talking about older players.
Yeah.
You want to max out Paul George, who's 34, 35 years old? Maxing out Paul George at this stage? We're talking about this being a young man's league.
I watched him in person with Michelle the other day. We were there, and he didn't stick out at all. And he actually had a good game.
Yeah.
But all I kept seeing watching that was, dear God, Joel Embiid is the largest human being I've ever seen in my life.
He's huge.
Laboring.
He's huge.
And by the way, every shot he takes outside of the key
is a giant W for the other team. No doubt.
I could not get over him not going to the paint.
No, he doesn't do that. He needs to play like a yard dog, not like a little poodle, right? Being out there in the three-point line, you got to be a little yard dog, jick yard dog.
No. Dogs in the Shasky household live inside. They're soft.
DMX Bonta?
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
My final thought is this. As we're talking Warriors or we're talking Niners, we're talking about the state of the Bay Area franchise. Buster Posey, we'll get to him tomorrow because he had an answer about how to lure free agents to San Francisco. My final thought is this. How do you sell the casual baseball fan on the 2025 San Francisco Giants? How do you sell the fans on the 2025 San Francisco Giants? How would you sell them? Something to think about for tomorrow.
My final thought, pretty straightforward. I watched Skeleton Crew on Disney last night after coming home from the Bruce Mahoney. Not bad. Not the greatest thing ever, but not bad. My biggest takeaway, though, Jude Law is a very underrated actor. I'm a sucker for everything he's in. He's good. I like him. I don't know. Maybe it's the British accent. Maybe it's the fact he's got a little horseshoe baldness thing going on, and he just leans into it. I like him as an actor.
The only Law I rock with is Law Murray down in L.A.
I thought it was A.C. Law.
Nah, he beat me by one second.
Law, Lawyer Malloy.
Heath Law.
Heath Law. Who was the Law? Was it Derek Law?
D-Law, yeah.
D-Law,
yeah.
Derek Law, the former closer.
Yeah.
Waving the rally rag.
Derek Law.
Oh, wow. Man, that was the last good night of Giants baseball.
Wow. What a, man, that decade flew by quick. Wow, it's been it's been a long time since 2016. Damn.
I know.
Anyway. Continue.
My final thought is, Shasky, you called this a little while ago. The Giants have officially signed the number two international prospect on the market. I'm going to butcher this name. Josuar De Jesus Gonzalez.
Pay for effort.
Considered the most complete position player in the international class, so the Giants have inked him.
The
17-year-old shortstop of the future. Shasky, I'm sorry, I'm not great with comps. Who's the comp that you had?
The comp, and everyone says, switch hitting shortstop, great hands, speed, power, Francisco Lindor.
All right, so Willie Adames, the shortstop for now.
No pressure. We got the next Lindor?
That was the comp.
I know. Don't get excited.
As long as he's the next Lindor and not the next Luciano.
Honestly, though, he was the number one
prospect
by far. Like, he was that good. So this is a big deal.
Big move.
Shout out Buster.
So you selling me on the Giants with that kid?
Hey, man, in 4 years, he's going to look really good in spring training.
Who gets here first? Post? Clinton Post? Or whoever this guy's name.
Sorry, I stole it. I'm sorry.
I beat you to it.
My final thought is what Anthony Slater had to say in regards to if Steve Kerr had a do-over. He said, Anthony Edwards. Maybe go after him and said that, you know, maybe the Timberwolves would have been interested if they got a trade package straight up. I don't believe that. I think they were going to take him no matter what. But I'm just trying to picture a young Anthony Edwards, a young brash Anthony Edwards.
Dray.
And Draymond Green.
He's gone at
it
with Draymond,
too. He's not taking Draymond's stuff, I'll tell you that right now.
He's gone at it with Draymond, too.
Yes, he has.
And you may see that tonight when they take on each other in a desperation game.
Going
to say Warriors.
Draymond doing exactly what he did to Buddy the other day.
Oh, my God.
Anthony Edwards in his rookie year.
Oh, my God.
Telling you he actually likes to be a rapper. Like, that was just the whole thing.
Here's the best part about it. The online Warrior fan said, Anthony Edwards needs to fall in line. He needs to fall in line.
We play Read and React.
We play Read and React. Get with it or get lost.
I almost couldn't say it.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
He doesn't know how to screen off ball for Curry.
He doesn't understand Steph's gravity. He doesn't know how to play off his gravity. Oh, my gosh. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity at Horror. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. That's it for us. Very fun show. Steiny Guru next right here on 95.7 The Game.